And welcome to Raw Talk here on M88. I'm your host, Yo. This is a show where we want to challenge you, encourage you, and most of all, get you to think. And tonight, we have a very challenging topic. It's a topic that apparently is also very touchy. I didn't realize quite how delicate this topic would be until I started playing some promos for it. And so it should be an interesting evening as we talk about women in ministry. And I have a very good reason why I wanted to discuss this. But before we get to that, I do want to say that it is the position of Calvary of Albuquerque and the management of this station that is not scriptural for a woman to be a pastor or hold any sort of authority teaching position over a man. Now, according to Calvary of Albuquerque and the management of the station, this is not negotiable or debatable. And fortunately, we're not here to debate that tonight. What we're talking about is women in ministry. Women can't serve behind the pulpit or in any sort of authority over men. So then, where do they serve? Where can they use their gifts? How can they contribute to the growth of the body of Christ? And, you know, I heard a Calvary pastor once say that whenever God wants to do a good work, he uses a man. But whenever he wants to do a truly great work, something truly special, he often used a woman. And I thought that was a great quote because, you know, you look through the Bible and you often see that some of the greatest turning points in Bible history hinged on the obedience of women doing what God told them to do. So tonight we're not talking about women as pastors. So please don't call in if you have a problem with that, if you have a contention, if you have an opinion or a question. We're not going to go over that tonight. We are going to talk about women in ministry. Now, our special guest tonight is Christine Hackett, executive pastor of Edgewood Believers Fellowship, and she has decided to join us tonight. Thank you so much, Christine, for joining us this evening.
Thank you for asking me.
Now, and some people might be asking, well, you just said that women can't be pastors. Why do you have a woman pastor on? Well, if we're going to talk about women in ministry, the best way to do that is to have a woman who is in ministry. Just like when we talked about homosexuality, we had a person who used to be a homosexual. It's the best way to go right to the source and get firsthand experience and a firsthand look at this type of stuff. So we're going to go over women in ministry. Now, here's why I wanted to do this. And I was just telling Christine the story. Up until college, I never really thought much about women in ministry. You know, my mom was a pastor's wife. I was around the ministry. It never really occurred to me how important this particular topic was. And it's important for men and women. So, guys, listen up. This isn't just a show for the girls. I came across this girl in college who was an exchange student from Australia. She was dating my roommate. And one day I was trying to take a nap, and she was waiting for her boyfriend to show up. And she started talking, and she was talking about how she felt so empty, how she didn't know what direction to go in life. She knows there's something more, but she just doesn't know what the answer was to what she was searching for. She felt like there was something missing in her life. You know, it's like the most blatant, obvious opportunity to share the gospel in all of history. And I was trying to take a nap. You know, just kind of nodding as I was trying to nod off. Yeah, well, that's interesting. Well, okay. And the Holy Spirit kept nudging me, you know, hey, dummy, this is your opportunity. And I have to admit, rather reluctantly, I was like, okay, fine. And so I shared the gospel with her. And she was very excited to become a Christian. She prayed right there. And we went out to lunch to celebrate her very first rebirth day. And it was a very special moment for her. Now, after that, she started studying the Bible. She had a voracious appetite for learning. She was so excited to know everything possible about Christianity. But she had one problem. It seemed to her that Christianity was very patriarchal. It seemed to be a men's club to her. And she was very upset by this. She would read through the Bible, and she would say, how come it's all about the guys? What do women do? And she would look at the local church, and she'd say, how come it's all about the guys? What do women do? And she wanted so badly to find a place to grow and to share and to contribute. And this is the first time I came up against that, and I did not have an answer. I knew that there was a place for women and that God loved to use women in ministry. I just wasn't sure what the answer was that she was looking for. And so ever since that point, it's been something that I have greatly researched. Now, here's why it's important for you guys. You know, as men, one of our duties, especially when we're married or, you know, when our families, It's our duty to encourage women to live up to their full potential in Christ. That's one of the greatest things that we can do as men, is to encourage them as they encourage us. And so I wanted to learn how I could do that before I got married, and then after I got married, I've continued to learn how to do that. Now, Christine, I brought you in because you're going to be our resident expert on this, and pretend like you encountered this young woman who had all these questions about, you know, where do I fit in to the church as a woman. How would you have responded to her questions about okay, I see where all the men and what they can do, but what do I do as a woman? How would you have dealt with someone so eager to serve but unsure of where to go?
Well, I think that I have a little different take on things. I like to just kind of set aside the dissension, mm-hmm. and understand that we are all called in Christ, and what the scripture says is that there isn't any difference between male and female, Jew and Greek, slave and free. And I would encourage her to really focus in on her relationship with Christ, because we're predestined for one thing, and that is to be conformed to the image of Jesus. And in doing that through prayer and meditation and studying the Word, which obviously she was really interested in, she will find the gifts and the callings that are in her life just by focusing on Christ rather than focusing on the division, mm-hmm. and seeking His face in a way that's going to give her answers in herself. And I mean, it's what I did anyway, and that's the only thing that I can really offer is how it worked for me, and that is certain inclinations or certain giftings. And a lot of times when there's a real strong desire to study the Word, there's a teaching gift there. There's a ministry gift there, or there wouldn't be the push to do it. And unfortunately, you know, through tradition, through culture, through a lot of different things, people have disagreed and debated what women should do in the church. And I think actually we should all be allowed to do what God tells us to do. Mm-hmm. And that in essence, you know, to simplify things, that in essence is what I would tell her is to allow God to speak to her heart. And whatever gifts she had, use them. I mean, and that's what Romans here in Romans 12:6 says. It says, having gifts that differ according to the grace given us, let us use them. That's the point. Use the gifts that you have. And we don't find the gifts through gifts, surveys or somebody telling us what we are. We find them by relationship with Jesus Christ. And in that time, He also gives us the confidence to stand out in the gifts that He gives us without having to argue about it or debate, you know, whether it's right or it's not right. If the gift comes from God, you know, what do we have to say about it?
Absolutely. 505-338-5790. As we go through our conversation tonight, if you have a question about maybe, you know, some people might be wondering, well, how does this relate to me? Well, you know, like for women in college, you know, what are you going to do with your Christianity after college? What are you going to do to grow in Christ? What are you going to do to contribute to the body of Christ? If you're a young woman in high school, you know, it's never too early to start thinking about how are you going to continue in that relationship with Christ and be an active member of the church. And so that's kind of what I wanted to go over tonight, is to encourage you that there are places where you can be an active member of your church, contribute, and help others grow, encourage others, because that's what we should all be doing, is helping each other as we are one body in Christ Jesus. So 505-338-5790. If you got a question or comment, again, not about women pastors, but about women in ministry and how they can contribute. Now, when I was leading up to this program, you know, I was thinking about where you usually see women at a church, mm-hmm. you know, receptionist. And I'm not saying these positions are any lower than anything else. I mean, they're very important. And the people here at work, they do a great job with what they do. And I really appreciate all of our receptionists. I appreciate the child care workers at our church where I attend, because, you know, it gives me a chance to listen to God's word without a baby screaming, crying and fussing and squirming. You know, these are all very important things, but these positions weren't always around. You didn't always need to answer the phone.
No.
And you don't always have a nursery. And so, you know, my question is, okay, well, you know, there's all these positions now that women fill in the church to help a church run and run mm-hmm. smoothly, and thank God that they're there and willing to do that. But what did women do in the past to contribute to the church? And so I ask you, Christine.
Okay.
How did women contribute to the church when there weren't phones and nurseries and some of the other things that they did? Or even focused women's ministries, you know, before they kind of...
No small groups.
Right, yeah, no small groups for each, you know, activity. How did women contribute to the church in the past?
Well, I think that actually is one place to begin, especially for anybody, for a man or a woman. If you're looking for, you know, how to develop in the body of Christ, history is very important. And historically, women were used in almost every gift that you find and I say every gift, and we're not debating about that, but every gift that you find in the Holy Spirit, you see women using in the church. If you just go biblically, you see that Paul commended 16 women and 18 men. When he talked about fellow laborers, when he called them ministers of God, servants of God. So obviously women were involved in a lot of ways. Priscilla and Aquila were teachers of the word. They taught together, and she was mentioned, they were mentioned together five times in the book of Acts and different areas, and she was mentioned three times first, which was, you know, to say that maybe she was a leader in a house church. And they had house churches then. They didn't have the temple and the synagogues that they went to. They had house churches. And many times women's domain was the house, and they were leaders. They were executors, shall we say, in the church at that time. And we see it throughout the Bible. You see it throughout history, especially the first 300 years of the church. Women were used extensively. And as a matter of fact, they've always had a big mouth. So we have the opportunity to use it. And really, Psalms 58:11 in the Tanakh, it says that God gave the word of power, and great was the army of women that declared it. And it is a feminine noun that's used there. And so even in the Hebrew context, women have always been spiritually active, spiritually alive, and wherever they can operate, they've operated quite effectively.
Now, what happened after those first 300 years that you're talking about, and how has it come to the point where, for someone who is in college, a modern woman, it would seem to her, and you know, again, when I was talking to her, I was like, you know, this is not the case. I mean, what mm-hmm. you're seeing, you know, that's not true. It's not the God I serve. It's not the church that I'm a part of. And yet, you know, as a new believer, as an outsider looking in, she seemed to think that the church was very oppressive of mm-hmm. women. And we all know that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, at times it was kind of hard to explain. No, that's not true because, yeah. you know, women do
lots of stuff.
stuff. And, you know, and I just wasn't equipped at the time yeah. to help her with that. Where did this perception come from? Why would someone like that have a perception that the church isn't a place for a woman?
Well, I think, again, historically, you know, if you look at the Gospels, you never see Jesus denigrating women. You never see Jesus causing division because of race or color or anything like that. And I think that one of his main objectives was to undo the hierarchies that had been established throughout history and are still in place. As far as gender bias and race and color and all that kind of stuff. And so when the church came alive in the Holy Spirit, it was very much a part of what they did, even though they had to be instructed. You'll remember that Peter didn't even start ministering to Gentiles until he had a vision from God 15 or 20 years after the church started. They thought Gentiles weren't allowed in the church because the word of God. Because of what they understood the Hebrew scriptures to say. They didn't believe they were there. And that continued as long as persecution continued. And then after Constantine came into power and declared the Christian religion to be legal, the church actually became a political power. And again, hierarchy was reinstated. And over the centuries, it's been fought and pulled down and then raised up again. And it will continue to be that way until Jesus comes, but it was never in the heart of Christ to divide women from men, Jews from Gentiles, slave from free. It was always his point to make freedom the point, and it should always go forward.
Now, I want to talk a little bit about Jesus and women here in just a moment, but 505-338-5790. If you have any questions or comments, if you'd like to take this opportunity to ask a woman about women in ministry, this is the opportunity to do that. 505-338-5790. Again, we're not taking questions about women and pastors. We're not debating that. We're not negotiating that. We're not really discussing that. We're talking about women helping people in the body of Christ, ministering to the body of Christ, which is what we're all called to do. I'm not called to be a pastor. But I'm called to minister to the body of Christ in the gifts that I have. And so that's what we're discussing, specifically how women can do that. Now, how did Jesus interact with women? You mentioned him. You know, let's get a little specific here.
Okay.
Because, you know, that was another thing that that was the only thing, actually, when my friend, you know, asked questions. You know, she's like, you know, you look through the Bible and women are treated this way and that way. And I was going back, but Jesus didn't treat them that way. Jesus treated them totally differently. It was radical. And she still had a hard time with that. And she could see it. She could see, yeah, but why didn't he do this? Or why didn't he do that? Why couldn't he just let them do whatever they want. And, mm-hmm. you know, again, I was like, well, you know, I mean, he wasn't there just to, like, he wasn't there to establish, you know, Israel as the reigning power, and he wasn't there to, you know, do a lot of things. He was there to save us.
Amen.
First and foremost.
Amen.
So, you know, he wasn't there to start the women's rights movement right then and there. And, mm-hmm. and so she had a hard time with that. But, you know, let's talk a little bit about Jesus and women in ministry. Okay. How did Jesus interact with women?
Well, actually, when we read the scriptures, a lot of times we don't have enough depth of understanding of the culture. And what we should see is that a lot of the things that he did, he never taught a teaching on women in ministry. He never taught about non-discrimination, but he lived it. He modeled it. He did a lot of things that were very radical. For instance, allowing women to be his followers. They followed him around Galilee and wherever else he went, supplying his needs. They were obviously disciples of Christ. We have the instance of Mary and Martha. When Mary came and sat at the feet of Jesus, she was taking the traditional place of a male Jewish disciple. Now, Jesus said she chose that place and it would not be taken from her. And the debate was she should be up messing around, cleaning the house and taking care of things. He never denigrated women. He always affirmed them and lifted them up. In fact, the only place that you find in scripture where somebody says a daughter of Abraham, Jesus was saying that about the woman that was bent over and needed to be delivered. He called her a daughter of Abraham. That was a radical thing to say, because in the Jewish mindset, it was very patriarchal, although they treated their women well. It was patriarchal. Women were not taught the Torah. They were not considered to need to learn it. And so to call somebody a daughter of Abraham was a radical thing. And a lot of the things that Jesus did with women were offensive. They were offensive to the Pharisaical hierarchy of the time. But his way of living declared that there was liberty in him. And the first person to ever preach the gospel was a woman. She was sent by Jesus to the other disciples, Mary Magdalene. We're not, you know, I don't believe any of that garbage about Mary Magdalene being his wife or anything like that, but she was a disciple of Christ.
It seems to come up every Easter.
Yeah, it does. And she went and she preached the gospel. And so the four daughters of Philip, and those weren't, you know, concerned with Jesus, but in the book of Acts, they were prophets. The Bible says they were prophetesses. And we all know, and most scholars understand, that prophesying is not about predicting the future. It's about proclaiming the gospel. It's about speaking the word. It's about speaking the purposes and plans of God out loud. Now, you can't be silent and be a prophetess at the same time. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of precedent in the life of Christ and in the book of Acts and all the way through the epistles for women to be very visible.
Now, I got some statistics I want to go over with you here in just a bit, but we do have some callers on the line. We'll start off with Garrett. Garrett, welcome to Raw Talk, and what do you have to say?
I just want to make it clear, first of all, I'm not against women preaching in the church, but I heard an interesting comment from a young lady that I had dated a while back. She told me that she feels that women shouldn't be doing something in the church unless there's men that will not step up.
That's a very common statement. I've often heard that myself, and I've even, back in my past, I even said that when I was teaching stuff before I went through college. Christina, how would you respond to that?
I would say that there's nothing in the scripture that says that. I think that that's actually an invention of man. And what we see is that wherever there is a gifted woman who will do what God tells her to do, God will use her. And there doesn't need to be a man around to do it. Now, obviously, in the church, there's a lot more women doing things that are pertinent to service already. And half of it wouldn't get done. And as a matter of fact, in China, I don't know if this is a correct statistic. I've read it somewhere. In China today, where there's great revival in the house churches, as many as 60% of the leaders of the house churches are women, and they have a dearth of men, and they're worried about it. It's a crisis because they won't step up to the plate. But God is he's not a respecter of persons. He will anoint whoever will listen and go forward with it. And we even have an Old Testament example of that in Deborah. She was called by God. She was a judge. She was a prophetess, and she was a military commander. Now, God didn't say, I can't find anybody else to do this, and now you can do it. He just used her because she was available and because she was open to him on that.
Now, some people do say, however, and I've heard it taught, that the situation with Deborah was that there was no man around who was willing to step up and take that leadership position. They look at the dude who was supposed to be the commander of the army and how he was like, I don't know. Hey, if you want to do it, go for it. Mm-hmm. And so they often use that as an example to back up that idea that if guys won't do it, then God will go to a woman. So I've heard that talked about that. Now, Garrett, let me say, you know, so far as that whole debate goes, I've often found that to be a cop-out. You know, God will use women when men don't step up and there's no man around to do it. You know what? That's stupid, because quite frankly, if that's the case, well, then men need to get their act together. I mean, it should never be said that, oh, men aren't doing their part. I mean, that's just a terrible thing to even suggest that would happen. So often when I hear people say that, you know, I often take the whole issue off of the men and women thing and say, you know what? The question is, are you doing your part? You know, forget about, well, is God going to use a woman if I as a man don't do my part? The question is, why aren't you doing your part? And so whenever that statement comes up, I always bring it back to the individual and say, you know what? Don't worry about that. Why don't you worry about whether or not you got your rear in gear and are serving God according to the way God has called you. So that's often how I respond to that. I don't know if that helps out at all, Garrett.
Oh, it does. It does. It was interesting to hear that perspective. I mean, I'd always kind of question that, because I was like, you know, guys aren't stepping up. And if that's the case, we need to step up.
Right.
But there is nothing better to me, honestly, than to have, you know, a young lady by my side helping me.
Right. And, you know,
or anybody, really. I mean,
right.
And as long as it's for God's glory.
The opposite would be true, you know? I mean, if the opposite were to turn around and you know, it would be said that God would use men if women weren't stepping up, well, then the issue is still, well, you need to get in gear and start serving God. So it works both ways on that. Garrett, thanks so much for calling in. We're going to move on, all right?
All right, you have a good day.
All right, take care, sir. And next we have Catherine on the line. Catherine, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say?
Hi, I just wanted to say I'm very fascinated in hearing you discuss this issue, mm-hmm. and that I wanted to let Christine know that I think her insights are brilliant and that they're critically important in the life of the church. And regarding a comment that that you had made, Yo, it's not only your Australian friend who is new to Christianity who sees the church as oppressive to women.
Mm-hmm.
That's been the case for insiders for centuries, and
that's
actually
true.
For two millennia. So I think it's what Christine has to say is very, very important, and I would love to hear her kind of commentary continue to inform both males and females in the Christian church. So I just want to say thank you,
praise
Christine,
God.
And I'd love to find
thank
out
you.
Off the air where you're a pastor and find out more about your ministry.
Thank
All right,
you.
And Catherine, we'll give info on how to contact Christine
okay.
at the end of today's show. And let me ask you, Catherine, just really quick, since I have you on the line, how have you felt about how women are being utilized in today's church? You know, when you look at it, what do you see?
It has really depended. I've lived in many different places in my lifetime, and it has really depended on which local body I've been involved in at any given time. I have been in church settings where it truly has been oppressive to women, where they cannot speak, their judgment is not considered valid, where they truly are lesser beings. And I've been in settings where, as Christine said, you know, male, female, you know, Jew and Gentile, we're all created in the image of God and we're all his children. And when you find yourself in that kind of setting, it's an absolute delight to be recognized that the brain that you have was given to you by God, just as any man's brain was given to him by God, and that we are to use our gifts for God's glory.
That's good.
Just as any male is to do. So really it has depended on the various settings that I've been in as to what kind of experience I've had.
All right. Well, thanks so much for calling in, Catherine. We really appreciate your comments here tonight on Raw Talk.
Okay, thank you.
You bet. And 505-338-5790. If you have a question for Christine about women in ministry, something that you'd like to ask her, again, not women as pastors, we're not debating that, we're not negotiating that tonight, but we are talking about women in ministering. How can they minister to the body of Christ? If you have a question or comment that you'd like to ask, 505-338-5790. Next up, we have Kay on the line. Kay, welcome to Raw Talk, and what do you have to say? Hello, Kay.
Hello?
Hi, Kay. Welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say?
I just want to say that I think women are a really important part of the church because, you know, there's so much that we can contribute to. And I know when I was younger, my mom, she went to we went to a new church, and she asked what she could do for Sunday school, and they told her they couldn't use her as a teacher because she was a woman. Mm. And I just think it's sort of depressing that some people feel like that, because, I mean, even in the Bible, they were teachers, they were guiders, they helped people along in their spiritual guidance, and some people today, I don't understand why that would be a problem.
Right, and now, let me ask you, Kay, and I'm not going to ask how old you are, but are you, like, in high school, and you in college, or are you older?
High school.
Now, what would you want to do as a woman to contribute to the church? Have you considered that? Have you found places where you can, you know, minister?
I have found a place. I'm a nursery worker during services. I go in and all the kids come out during the service and we pray with them and, you know, we do projects and we talk about the Bible and, you know, they're a little bit too young to think about, you know, what they're going to do with their Christly life, but just, you know, being able to give them a positive Christly area. I just love the whole teaching thing.
Well, that's very cool, Kay. Thanks so much for calling in tonight. We really appreciate your comments, and you have a great evening, all right? All right. Kay joining us here on Raw Talk, and next up, we're going to go to Lorenzo. Lorenzo, welcome to Raw Talk, and what do you have to say?
Hey, guys. I just wanted to comment on what Garrett said about God, or what his friend said about her thinking that only God only lets girls do something if guys don't step up.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of disagree with that, because God says himself that, girls weren't made for our pleasure. They're not instruments for us to use whenever we feel like it.
Yes.
They're equal to us.
Mm-hmm.
And an example I have to that is my friend Caitlin. She does a ministry. It's called Girls on Mission.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, you know, a guy didn't not step up because it's a girls on mission thing. And I just totally, you know, think that God, like you said, relies on both of us, on women and men, to do his ministry and things like that.
All right. Well, Lorenzo, thanks so much for calling in. And you know what? I'm glad to hear that there's some guys out there that are concerned about this as well. Because, you know, I was afraid, and let me just say this before we get to James, another dude, that, you know, people would just think, oh, this is a woman's show. There's a woman on the show. We're talking about women. They'll just let the women listen to it.
You're not a woman?
I'm not a woman. Although, when I'm on the basketball court, I've been called that. But that's for another show. But I think it's important for men to be just as concerned about this as women, to encourage women to be ministers in the church. Because, you know, when all parts of the body are contributing, that's when the body of Christ is strongest.
Amen.
And when parts of the body are being shuffled off to the side, no, we don't need you. Mm. You know, what are we missing out on? We don't even know how strong the church can be when people, men or women, no matter who they are, you know, race, whatever, and they're just being relegated. Oh, no, you know, we don't really need you. We operate this way.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows what we're missing out on? So, guys, thank you so much for being a part of tonight's show and being concerned about this topic. James, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say?
Hi. I just wanted to say, you know, my mother has been involved in ministry my entire growing up life. You know, she has a bad private organization called High Teens, and just a Christian organization to help parents with out-of-control teens. And she's the head deaconess in the church I grew up with, and head deaconess at my dad's church now. And you know, there's lots of places in the church for women to do things, and all they have to do is pray and listen to God and see what he directs them to do. And you know, also every Sunday school class teacher I have ever had has been a woman.
Yeah, so
that's
I
true.
Me too.
So, you know, and it's, I don't know, I personally, I learned better in a Sunday school class setting from a woman, because for some reason they know how to explain things better than guys.
All right.
So, you know, and for women to feel like the church oppresses them and it's kind of like a sexist type thing sometimes I feel like that might be a cop out for them not to want to do something, because in some churches it is, but you know, in a lot of churches there's plenty of room for women to be in ministry and more than welcome in lots of churches. And if their church isn't welcoming them into doing ministry, start their own ministry.
Yeah. There you go. And that's, you know, I've given that exact same advice to a lot of people, even when we were talking about the issue of homosexuality And there's this group that helps churches, you know, do a ministry to minister to homosexuals. And some people called in, like, well, my church doesn't do that, so I'm going to leave them. I'm like, no, don't leave your church.
Absolutely.
Stay there and start it, because it's a vital ministry. And you know, I'm glad you brought that up, James, because you're absolutely right. If there seems to be a lack of ministry from women, well, women shouldn't go someplace where there, you know, where there is. Start it there in that church, because the church obviously needs that. And also something that James has brought up and Lorenzo's brought up, you know, we're painting with a broad brush tonight, you know.
Absolutely.
When I'm talking about the church being oppressive to women, that's church with a capital C, I'm not, you know, pointing to every church. I mean, there's a case-by-case situation with churches. Not every church is the same. Not every church believes the same about some of these topics. And so, you know, please don't take offense if your church is this way or that way. We're just painting with a broad stroke, taking a, you know, an overhead look at all this tonight. James, thanks for calling in tonight. You have a great evening, all right?
You too, thanks.
All right, 505-338-5790. If you have a comment you'd like to add or a question for Christine about women ministering in the church, 505-338-5790. Now, while we wait for some more people to call in, Christine, I thought this was kind of interesting. I came across a survey that was actually done by the George Barna Institute and reported in another article about the role of women in church and just how big of a role they have in there. And some of the things that came out from this was that women shoulder the largest burden for cultivating the spiritual life of their families, according to George Barna. Women more often than not take the lead role in spiritual life of the family. Women typically emerge as the primary or only spiritual mentor or role model for family members. And again, this is coming from the Barna Institute for Research. And, you know, you don't have to agree with everything that they say, so statistically, but it's interesting nonetheless.
Statistics are good.
Yeah. And then also, one of the things that Barna warned about is that because women contribute in so many areas of the church that they're being burned out. You know, they do so much to keep a church running that what they have found in recent years is that attendance by women to churches is going down because so much is asked of them. You know, they contribute so much. They volunteer so much. You know, whenever you have a volunteer situation, some of the first volunteers are often women. And, you know, one of the things they said in the survey is churches need to be aware of that and try and help women not to get burned out by always being the ones who take up a big burden in the church. This was kind of interesting. Without women, Christianity would have 60% fewer adherents.
Interesting. We'd be losing.
Yeah. Now, that's like a worldwide statistic. Worldwide, if women were taken out of the equation, Christianity would have 60% fewer adherents. You know, that's not saying that they're all born again, but people who claim to be Christian, that number would go down by 60% if you didn't include women. 46% of American women hold beliefs that classify them as born again, compared to 36% of men. 41% of women said they have set specific spiritual goals to accomplish within the next 2 years, compared to 29% of men. Women are twice as likely as men to be involved in a discipleship process as church at a church, and meaning, you know, they're willing to go and be discipled by a mentor. Women are leaders. More women are leaders. About 14% of U.S. women have served in some leadership role in their churches, compared to 9% of men. Women are more likely than men to share their faith with others and disciple others.
That's interesting.
The survey also found that women outpace men in having daily devotional time, volunteering time at church, reading the Bible, attending church services, and donating to the church and praying. Now, there is one exception to all these rules. The younger generation, 34 or younger, these statistics do not apply.
Yay.
Which I think is kind of shocking that the younger generation is not living up to what the previous generation.
Oh, you mean the men aren't stepping up, the women are stepping down.
Right, so 34 or younger, these statistics are not true for women.
That's not
34
good.
Or younger. Right, yeah. This is not good. So the question then becomes, well, what are we teaching the younger generation of women?
Absolutely.
If the previous generations have done all these things, and now the upcoming generation are not participating in these ways, they're not committing to these devotional times, doing discipleship, what are we telling our women, our
Absolutely.
Young women? And I've thought that was perhaps the most shocking statistic of all. But this is something that, I don't know if you've listened to the show a lot, Christine, but this is something that we've come across quite a bit, is how the college group and younger just isn't with it when it comes to Christianity. You know, when we've gone over, you know, sex before marriage or homosexuality or, you know, all these issues, for some reason that younger generation, people who are in college now or younger, these issues just aren't that important to them. And in fact, they're more often going off towards the world.
Yeah.
And we're losing them. We're losing the younger gen. What's your reaction
when
you hear?
That's my take on that.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, I think that we always come around in cycles. I grew up in the 60s and,
yeah, I've heard some of your stories.
Yeah, lots of my stories. And they, you know, at that time, that's what we were doing is we were abandoning all of the things that our parents had told us and our Christianity, so on and so forth. And it seems like the country itself and the culture of the country goes through cycles of up and down. And I believe that the world that we live in today is going to push the younger people into seeking just as it has in the past. And so I don't get too upset about the statistics, although, you know, they are kind of frightening. But I think that God's, the seed of the gospel is strong in the United States, even though it's, you know, it's trashed over by a lot of stuff. You can't help but hear it. And when crisis comes and push comes to shove, the Spirit of God is able to raise up people, even from young people, and usually really dynamically. I mean, the Calvary Chapel movement started out of that hippie, crazy, you know, abandon the faith type thing. So I believe it'll happen again. God's that good.
I think the reason I get so when I read statistics, you know, about, you know, the 34 and younger crowd, you know, the 35 and younger crowd, that's my generation that they're talking about. And I just hate the fact that my generation is the one that seems to be dropping the ball when it comes to continuing the faith. You know, when we were talking about how 20 somethings, anyone over 20, once they get to college, you know, like 60% of them walk away from their faith, you know, and just this idea that for some reason my generation doesn't want to hang on to what previous generations have cherished so much. And, you know, people have heard me on the show. I pointed fingers all over the place, from parents to churches to leadership to wherever. I mean, there's failings. There's failings all over the place. And, you know, I think there's equal blame to go around. But that's the thing I find the saddest is that for some reason, my generation and younger, they aren't getting the ministry that they need. They're not getting, you know, what they, and going back to women, which is what we're talking about here, I think, when you look at these statistics, the fact that women are falling away from that.
That is rather concerning.
What does that mean for the church in the future if women are not going to be doing these things anymore? What's going to happen to the church? I mean, that's kind of a scary
thought. Well, and that's a good question. I think that none of us can be prophetic about that.
Right.
We can pray about it and believe God to keep raising people up. But women, unfortunately, in our generation, I mean, the generations that I've seen grow up, the working woman, the busyness of the life and the culture, that is probably one of the main reasons that women aren't as involved, because they don't have the kind of free time that they used to have.
Right.
And so I don't know how you solve that, except that you work within the workplace. I mean, because I'm a working woman and have been for, you know, 25 years. So it's not impossible to follow God and work at the same time, but there has to be other venues for women to come to Christ and to really get involved and be excited about the things of God.
Yeah, and speaking of the working woman and relating it to ministry, you know, my mom is a tax preparer for for a tax company. I won't say which one because I don't want to be promoting any particular one. But, you know, she's steadily gone through the ranks because she's so committed. But she cares about the people who comes in. And she's always telling me stories of the people that she helps out. She really cares about
she
their situation.
She makes connections.
She does. She makes connections. And she has, and I will call it this, a great ministry with her tax preparation. And so great. And I'm so proud of my mom because she has people who will come to that place and they say, I'm here to see, you know, my mom. I won't say her name on the air because I don't want to embarrass you, Mom.
You don't want to promote your mom.
Yeah, I don't want to embarrass my mom. I've come to see Yo's mom. And, well, she's busy. She's going to be a while. That's okay. I'll wait. And she has people who like wait like an hour or more just to see her to prepare her taxes. And she's had lots of opportunities to share the gospel.
Amen. And I think that's what that's the nature of the church in these times too. In fact, the emerging church movement is just a rethinking of how we do church. And maybe doing it differently is going to be the answer for the 34 and youngers, to where you reach them where they're at and form groups that feed each other and learn how to be the church, you know, within the context of what we have to deal with.
Well, let me also say, on the topic of the emerging church, there are some questionable things going on with some of them. And so, you know, we're not certainly endorsing the emerging church. And as a promo for future later this month, if I can get my guest on, we're going to talk about the emerging church and about this movement of the church staying at home. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? But so that'll be coming up later in the month here on Raw Talk. 505-338-5790. If you got a question or comment about women in the church, how can women minister in the church? What can women do? Where do they contribute? Where do they encourage people? How can they help the church grow? Because that should be what we want to do, and man or woman, is to help the church grow. 505-338-5790 as we talk about women in ministry. Now, you brought up the role of prophetesses.
Prophetesses.
That's the one.
That's plural.
And then, one of our other callers talked about his mom being a deaconess in the church. And, you know, what do you think about some of these other positions that aren't necessarily the pastor position, but other positions in the church where women minister? I mean, is that appropriate? Mm-hmm. What do you think about that? And historically, is this something that has gone on?
Historically, it's gone on ever since the beginning. And one of the people that Paul commends, actually the first person that he commends in Romans chapter 16 is Phoebe. Mm-hmm. And she is called, actually, the King James translated the word servant of the church. But every other place that that word is in the New Testament is translated minister or deacon. Mm-hmm. And so she's a fellow laborer with him. And it was appropriate then, it's appropriate now. It was appropriate in the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. They were never priests in the temple, but they did labor in the temple. They served in all kind of possible ways. And I think that it's appropriate, you know, it's appropriate if a person is hearing God and opens themselves up to opportunity. There are so many opportunities to minister, just like your mother does at her tax place. There are people that are hungering. And if you develop your gift, whatever that gift might be, whether it's teaching, administrating, whatever it might be, you develop you're going to find opportunity to use it. But you have to be open to it.
Right.
It's not like God's going to drop it on you.
Well, and I'm glad you brought that point up, because the issue here isn't how can women usurp authority in the church. I mean, obviously that's not what we're advocating, and that should never be the case, you know, and that's one of the reasons I asked you on the show, because I know you've never been of the position, women need to seize power in the church. Women need to do more of this so they can have a bigger piece of the pie. Mm-hmm. You know, you've never been an advocate of that, and that's certainly not what we're advocating tonight. Women, you need to seize more of the power of the church or whatever. That's not what it's about. If it comes down to usurping authority, it's being done for the wrong reasons. Mm-hmm. And that goes for men or women. If you're in the ministry as a man because you like having authority and you like being the big boss, the CEO, well, that's probably not the position for you. In fact, if you look through history, the places where the church has gone wrong is when the power has become more important than the ministry.
Amen.
When people went into the church to have a position of power, that's when the church started to rot at the core.
Amen.
And then, you know, Martin Luther eventually came along and said, hey, you know, you guys aren't really doing this for the right reasons anymore. And you had that whole reformation happen. And I always thought that was kind of interesting, you know, because you look back at the Middle Ages and earlier, and the church really became a place of power. And people who went into the ministry because they liked the power, not because they wanted. And it's the same. We came across some people like that. My dad was a chaplain in the Air Force, and that was, you know, that was a way for them to gain rank, because it'd be harder in other fields to make colonel or whatnot. But, you know, do it through the chaplaincy, you know, more opportunities in some cases to gain rank. So they weren't really concerned with the ministry, but with rank.
Yeah.
And
with
so, hierarchy. You know, that's not what we're talking about tonight. And I'm glad that I lost my train of thought. Catherine's on the line. Welcome to Raw Talk again, Catherine. What do you have to say now?
Hi. Thanks for taking me a second time.
Sure.
And from the moment I called until you guys answered just now, you already ended up touching on what I was going to say. So I've been debating, do I hang up or do I stay? So it's going to repeat a little bit what you just said. But
no, that's fine.
My statement earlier when I called about that the church has been oppressive to women in many ways is true. But the other side is also very true, that it has also been a place of great affirmation for women. So I want to affirm that very fact, and that we do have many, many wonderful role models within the church. And the whole thing about that we really are ministering wherever we are, whether we're a college professor, a high school teacher, you know, working in the nursery, doing taxes, you know, any of those things, that that we are representation of Christ in the world at large, and that women are as much a part of that as men. And it was very interesting hearing the statistics. But basically, I just, since I had called in with this comment earlier that could be seen as divisive, I really do want to affirm that the church also is a place of great comfort and nourishment for women, and that women can thrive in the church and do, and that we do have a lot of good role models around us. So I did just want to say that, because I don't want to leave other listeners with a sense of, oh my gosh, you know, we're just, there's just pure bitterness, you know, out of women about this or something. I mean, there's a great deal of affirmation for women and by women within the church.
Well, thanks for bringing that up, Catherine. And certainly, you know, my goal on Raw Talk is not to be divisive or cause fights, but just to get people thinking about stuff. So thanks for bringing that up, Catherine. You have a great night, okay?
Great, thank you. I appreciate that.
And John is on the line. John, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say?
Well, I'm just, I was glad that your co-host had made a comment about how a lot of the women who are not required to work do have more time to do those kinds of things. I was kind of alluding to that kind of an idea.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, as far as the women taking roles in the church, you know, as far as the priest goes, I think that's pushing the envelope. And it doesn't really happen that often, but if there's a job that needs to be done and somebody needs to do it and somebody steps up, then I think the pastor is kind of going to grab onto that volunteerism and go with it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a valuable thing to have these women in the church who are willing to give so much of their lives for what is, of course, the best cause.
Absolutely. Amen. And, you know, I have to say, one of the things I find very interesting is when, and you know this, Christine, you go back to creation, and a lot of people talk about the order of creation is why we have a certain hierarchy in the church.
Mm-hmm.
But what's funny is you go to marriage conferences, and they go back to that same story, and they point out how a woman was created as a helper, using the same word throughout the rest of the Bible, talking about the Holy Spirit as a helper, and that was the same word used when describing the woman as a helper. I always thought that was kind of interesting that in one instance we're very happy to say, oh yes, women equal helper, they're part
servants
of that. And the other instance was like, well, order of creation, man came first, and that's why you have this, that, and the other thing. But yeah, I mean, when you look at it, women helping the church, like we're pointing out with those statistics, if they weren't there, where would the church be? Do you have anything you want to add to that?
Well, actually, I think going back to Genesis is always going to help us kind of clarify some things, and then looking at the life of Christ. And in Genesis, it's obvious that God created men and women as co-rulers and called their name Adam, by the way. He called them Adam. Adam called Eve after the fall. But they both together image God. And there's not an image of God if there's not a woman. There's not an image of God if there's not a man in that combination. There's the combination of, especially speaking in marriage, of partnering together to be the image of God in the earth and especially in the church. And when we create hierarchy, basically what we're doing is ordering our lives after what happened in the fall. And what we want to do is get back to God's original intent. And the fall is when the hierarchy was created. In the fall is when man became the suppressor of woman, and woman became the subservient to man. That's not God's ideal, and never has been. Christ restored the original order, in my opinion.
And, of course, when we say, you know, getting rid of hierarchy, we're not advocating, you know, complete anarchy, because Christ isn't about anarchy either. He's totally about order, but, you know, just wanted to clarify that. That doesn't mean that everyone can go out and do whatever they want on their own terms when we talk about, you know, removing the hierarchy.
Yeah. Well, and I think hierarchy to me has a bad tone, because there is no hierarchy in the Godhead.
Right.
There is mutual submission. And that, I think, is what Christ taught, is mutual submission. When there's mutual submission, there's no anarchy.
And even Paul talked about submission among everyone, you know.
Amen.
And a lot of people are like, oh no, Paul talked about wives submitting to their husbands. But if you go through that entire chapter, everybody's submitting to God.
Amen.
And there's submission on everyone's part. John, thanks so much for calling in today. We're going to wrap things up. Appreciate your comment.
You're welcome.
All right. Have a good night. All right. Now, I know everyone's going to be curious about this, and I said we're not debating this, and we're not, but I do want to give you an opportunity to touch on this. And, you know, this question, no disrespect to you, no disrespect to other women, but, you know, everyone goes back to those passages in 1 Timothy and 1 Corinthians that talk about women not teaching, being silent, so on and so forth, going back to the order of creation because man was created first, you know, some of that stuff that we just touched on. Now, knowing you, knowing that you love and respect the Word of God, and that is, you know, utmost to you, and that if the Word of God said something was one way, that's the way you would do it. You wouldn't, you know, fly in the face of it for your own agenda. Well, you might, because we all have the sin nature, but I know that you adhere to the Word of God. How do you reconcile, then, being a woman pastor with what Scripture has to say about women in teaching and authority positions?
Well, actually, I think that I think we get really confused when we use the Bible as a textbook and as a dead letter. And what we see in the Scripture is that there are only two places in Scripture: 1 Timothy 2:12, 1 Corinthians 14, I think it's 23 and 24, where it says that women should be silent in the churches. I do not allow a woman to teach, so on and so forth. But the fact is, Paul did allow women to teach. He commended women as teachers. He commended them as leaders, as deacons, so on and so forth. There's two passages against. There's over 40 passages that affirm women in public positions of ministry. So my understanding of how we understand Scripture is to let Scripture interpret Scripture and go with what the Holy Spirit is doing at large, rather than pick something out and make it the for all times, for all people, no doubt about it kind of thing. And you see this same example in Acts chapter 15, when the Pharisees that had come to Christ wanted to make sure that the Gentiles that were now coming to Christ were circumcised and kept the law. Now, that was an absolute Scripture. It's in Genesis 17. God said it's a covenant forever. If you're not circumcised, you're out of the party, you know. And they all came together. They all talked about it. And they came to the conclusion and said, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us not to put this kind of burden on the Gentiles, even though the Scripture in Genesis 17 is very, very clear. But the Holy Spirit was enlarging their view. And I believe that we can do that with Scripture, not to pick and choose our understandings of things, but to actually be allow the Word to be a living thing rather than a dead letter. And so that's the way I see that. I believe that there's much more precedent for women in public ministry than those two scriptures. And you know what? Something was going on there that we don't understand. We have to look at things culturally. And I think that it's only right to do that. It's godly as far as I'm concerned.
And again, you know, I have to say that it's not the position of Calvary of Albuquerque that it's okay for women to teach according to the Scripture, and that is the same opinion of the management of the station. Now, the reason I even allowed Christine to mention that is because the main purpose of Raw Talk is to ask you, why do you believe what you believe? I don't care if you're talking about the essentials of the gospel, saved by grace, why do you believe that's true? It's okay to ask that. It's okay to ask, why do I believe that this is an absolute? Or if you're talking about women pastors, why do you believe it's an absolute that women cannot believe? Don't let someone tell you what to believe. You go out, you study, you research, and you discover with the help of the Holy Spirit why you believe what you believe. And on Raw Talk, we just want to help you do that. That's why we talk about things in an open forum, to get you thinking, to challenge you to start thinking about these types of issues. And I want you guys to really consider why you believe what you believe. That goes for any topic we ever discuss on Raw Talk. Don't take my word for it. Don't take my guest's words for it. You go and find out why you believe what you believe, because that is how you will be most useful in serving God, and that's how you'll have the biggest impact. When you know absolutely why you believe what you believe, nothing in this world will shake you. And that's where we all want to be as Christians, especially considering the times we're moving into.
Amen.
We're getting into some interesting times. We need to have a solid foundation. And you're not going to find that by someone telling you what to believe. Oh, I believe it because so-and-so said it. Why do you believe it? And so that is why we do Raw Talk. That's why we went over what we discussed tonight. Now, I know there's some people who might have some more questions that they'd like to ask you, and they might even want to ask you more about the whole women pastor thing that we're not discussing tonight, but they might want to talk about it with you off air. Where can they get in touch with you, like email, and ask you some questions about this?
My email address is pastor, P-A-S-T-O-R-E-B-F, at AOL.com.
Okay.
And that's the place.
All right. Well, if you have more questions that you'd like to ask Christine and like to continue this conversation, you can email her or you can email us. You know, I'd be happy to pass along emails to Christine or, you know, I can take some of the questions myself. Studio at m88.org is our email address if you'd like to discuss this more and if you have some more questions about this. Any closing comment you'd like to share, Christine, about women in ministry?
Actually, I just thank you for having me on. Hope I didn't rock anyone's boat.
Well, you know, sometimes a little boat rocking is good. Gets us out of our apathy. Well, thanks so much for joining us tonight, and I hope that you are encouraged and challenged as we discuss this. Again, if you got any questions about tonight's topic that you'd like to explore further, studio at m88.org is the place to email me, and I'll pass along any questions that I get to Christine that need to go to her. And we appreciate you tuning in tonight. Not sure what we're going to do next week. We'll let you know later this week what we're going to tackle. Got some great topics coming up. Like I said, we're going to talk about the emerging church. We're going to talk about the age of the earth. Is that important at all? We're going to talk about Islam in the world. How does a Christian deal with the whole Islamic movement? We got a lot of great topics on tap for you. So thanks so much for your support of Raw Talk, telling your friends to tune in and listen. And I hope you guys have a shway week in the Lord. We'll see you again next week here on Raw Talk on M88.